eyes. What president do you think made the most impression upon the people in your early married life?
Well, real early, I think Theodore Roosevelt, the country was in quite bad shape. And then when he took over, the times started picking up and it was more prosperous. And then it ran along for a good many years. It didn't seem to be too much difference. And then this last Roosevelt, he put the country back in good shape again. See, it got kind of in bad shape again after the war. And he got things going again. So I think the two Roosevelts are both the ones that really done the most to get the country going.
Did people take much interest in politics?
Oh yes, I think people were more political minded than they are today. The parties meant more to them at that time than they do today. People just sort of take a side now and it just kind of runs off the, you know, just don't think too much about it. You're what you are, but you don't think too much about it. But them, oh yeah, they even fight for the party and things like that. They get in real brawls over that. Well, election time, outside of that, you never heard too much. But you get some of these old fanatics, and they really went to it over their party.
What did you do for fun, for recreation?
Oh, fairs. And then they had picnics during the summer, just in the grove someplace, and people get together, maybe the church doings, or maybe a holiday, and they get together and have picnics. And then the young people would get together in the wintertime, or sleigh ride parties, an awful lot. But every weekend during the wintertime, they would go to somebody's house for a party. And,
did you have children?
No, not then. We did, not at that time, no. We had four children, but they came later.
What did you do as a family get together? What kind of activity?
Well, we kind of sat around and visit. So the men play cards for quite a lot, as a rule, but women just sat around and visit.
Do you think women, how do I want to say, do you think women had a kind of a duller life than the men, or do you think that they were just as happy as the men?
I think so. I think a real, true housewife was just as happy. They were contented in their home. They were busy. Their life was full. And they were real busy. And the man had his work, the woman had her work. And I think they were
content. What was a routine daily schedule of an early housewife?
Well, get up, well, probably 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Start your day. You had to get your husband out of bed, and he had to get his chores done. So there was quite a lot of chores. We'd feed up all the stock, and the men usually done the milking. Sometimes the women help, but not often. Separate the milk if they had a cream separator, or if they didn't have, why, that was the woman's business then. They'd bring the milk in, and the woman strained it in crocks. You know what a milk crock is?
No.
Don't you? Well, it's a sort of a big bowl thing, hold a gallon. And then that the men would bring the milk in.
And how did you strain it?
Well, you had there was a tin strainer, and it had a thing in the bottom, and you put a gauze on it, and a band went around it, and set that over your crock, and strained it in there. And
how long did that take to do?
Well, it depends on how many cows you was milking. People made butter to sell, you know. And you had to skim your milk, take the cream off your crock. You strain your milk one morning, and then the next morning, that milk was ready to take the cream off from, and then your other went to for your pigs or whatever you had to feed. That skim milk went for them. And every other day, you skimmed that milk. From the day before, you skimmed the milk the next day, and saved your cream all in the crock, and then you churned it.
And how did you churn it?
A homemade butter. Oh, a little dash churn, up and down. You ever see one?
Yeah, I've seen them, but I've never seen anybody use one.
No, mm-hmm. Yeah, just stand there and churn to get your butter.
Well, what else did she do after she got her husband out there to the barn?
Well, they'd be washing and making beds and washing dishes and
No, she didn't have running water then.
No, right? It was all carried in. Dad carried in. And the husband usually would fill the wood box. And then if she didn't, well, she had to go get her own wood out in the wood pile after that. And bacon, bread, get your bread baked. And they, usually they was had quite a system to their work. Most always Monday was a wash day and Tuesday was an iron day. And then they'd have a certain day that they'd done their baking, maybe a couple of days a week if they had quite a family. Maybe a couple of days a week they was the bake days. And they'd bake bread and cookies and donuts and put them in jars. They didn't just bake just a few, just one bag. They'd put them in great big crocks and set them away someplace, and they'd have to last a week or two.
They didn't have a did they have refrigerators
no.
then?
No, they didn't even have.
How did you keep your food so it wouldn't spoil?
Unless you had a good cellar. That's where the old country cellars come in. That was the only place you had for cool.
Did you have a garden?
Yes, a garden, sure. Just loved my garden, too. Yeah, and that was another thing in the summertime. They had their gardens and canning. One had to take your pail and go way off out in the woods someplace and pick some berries. You had to get in and get your dinner ready. You had to get in about 11 and get your dinner going and wash up the dishes. And then maybe pick berries or whatever you wanted to do. Get back, have supper around 5:30, 6 o'clock. Then the same chores again, all the routine of chores.
Do you think the women today have more leisure time than the women then?
No, I don't think they do. Because what you do so much different. Now, them used to be they didn't have carpets like they have today. It was bare floors, most all. If they had an old rag carpet or something in their living room or something like that, but they didn't use that every day. Where they kind of lived down there, they lived mostly in just a couple of rooms in the winter time, because they didn't heat that pool. They had a big house, they didn't heat it as usual. And kids slept upstairs in the cold rooms. And they lived mostly, well then, mop up the floors. They didn't put so much time in housework like they do today.
They didn't?
They didn't put as much time in it. They mopped the floors real good once, scrubbed the floor real good on Saturday. Then it was swept, of course, kept swept up good, but on Saturday was always a day for scrubbing your floors and washing your windows and doing things like that.
So most of the woman's time was spent getting the necessities.
In the summertime, she was always busy. There was always something to, if she had, in the wintertime, to take the place of garden work, then she had to sew carpet rags and piece quilts and do that kind of work in the wintertime and make your own clothing. You couldn't buy clothing like you do today. That all had to be made.
But you made it for the whole family?
Make it for the whole family, yeah. Make the boys' pants, too.
Mm-hmm. And that all had to be done by hand?
Well, some was lucky enough to have sewing machines, but a lot of them didn't have, so it was done by hand.
Well, I never really looked at it from the point of view that women don't have any more leisure time now than they did back then.
Well, and they could have in a way, but the way people keep house today, they're so particular most all the time that they're almost always busy. You take a woman, she's always busy, hardly knows where to get off at. They're busy, just the same. I don't know. I guess you just find something to do with, but it's a different line of work altogether. They do it altogether different.
How about the man? Do you think that he has any more leisure time now than he did then?
Yeah, I think he do. Especially a farmer. Especially a farmer. Well, there wasn't too many factories at that time, because there wasn't many people were farmers. You lived in the country someplace anyhow. And if you didn't have a farm yourself, you worked for a farmer. So, I think the men they work for somebody else, right? They done the day's work, the same as they would in a factory. And if they had their own place, well, then it was a little harder, because you work a little harder for yourself and put in longer hours for yourself than you did for when you was working for somebody else.
Well, if you got up at 4 in the morning, what time did you go to bed at night?
Oh, they used to go to bed quite early. Go to bed about 9. Everybody planned to be in bed about 9 o'clock. You was tired. You was ready to go to bed at that time. And the work was hard. It was hard work. You had to go and you'd stay if you wanted to wash. You put the fire up your old cook stove and put the boiler on, a great big old copper boiler on. Then go out and carry in your water and fill your boiler full and put down the stove till it got hot. Then you had to dip it out of that into your tubs. And then they used to boil their clothes after they got the water hot and got in the tubs. Well, then the white clothes and stuff was all boiled in that boiler. Then you make another suds and boil your clothes.
How long did it take you to wash clothes?
Oh, about a day. You had a very big family, and it's just about a day's job washing clothes. You hardly ever get done before dinner anyhow.
Yeah.
But they didn't wash only once a week. Unless you had a baby or something like that, where you had to wash after. But the big washing was just done once a week.
What was the average size of a family back then?
I would say six or eight kids. It was about the average family.
So a man and a woman really had to work hard to keep that big of a family going.
Yeah, sure did. Yep, you didn't. It was toilet. Okay, when the day was done, but they was used to it and didn't mind it. And I think, I think people were just as happy and maybe happier than they are today. They didn't have so many things to take up their minds and their minds wander off. So they had their mind on themselves, and that was their way of life, and they didn't think nothing of it. They just lived that way. I think they were happy. I didn't know of anybody that wasn't happy.
Today, people always say that they're under a lot of pressure. Do you think people back then were under a lot of pressure?
No, I don't think they were under the pressure they are today. No. We have too much over us. At that time, you could live more of a free life than you do now. There's nothing much over you. There's nothing bothers you as long as you got your taxes paid and things like that. Nothing much to bother you. But here we have so many things, other things that you have to, like governmental things and things like that. The restrictions are greater today than they were at that time. No, at that time you could live quite a free life. You didn't care. Nobody bothered you very much. You didn't have no bills to pay. No gas, lights, electric, or anything like that. No gasoline. So, yes. But, yeah, I think they were as happy as they are today.
When you lived around Clippers and over that way, did you make very many trips to Saginaw?
No, I don't know that. I went to Saginaw a couple times on the bus. There's a bus come through from Porter and Saginaw, the mail bus. Just yet, run along here. And I made a couple trips to Saginaw.
What can you remember about the first trip you ever made to Saginaw?
Oh, that was late years. That wasn't too long ago. That wouldn't be much of any experience. My first trip on a interurban or streetcar or something like that. That was quite a thrill. But this wasn't much here because we were used to that by that time. This bus in the Saginaw didn't mean very much to us any more than it would today.
I remember when they had this plank on there.
Planks on the road, you mean?
Couldn't get through this journey of the sand.
And then along in there where Shanks lived in there, that was always such a low place. I guess that was they had to build that up all the time. That would go down about every year. It's wet in there somehow or other. And they'd have to build that road up and lift road along here until, this was paved, maybe about 50. 1950 maybe this Saginaw road was paved. Up until that time, it wasn't a very good road.
Well, how did cars make it through roads before they were paved? I mean, were they stuck a lot?
I guess they did. They didn't go in when it was muddy. Mm-hmm. They'd know better than to go in. They'd get a horse. They had horses at that time enough, so they didn't have to go in. And they didn't go in. If they did, they'd just get stuck. That was all. Yeah.
Yeah.
all these paved roads, I'll tell you, they've been quite an improvement.
What was the biggest adjustment you had to make from moving from Detroit up here?
We didn't have to make so much because, see, we had, when we moved over to Clifford there, and even on the farm, we had electric, we had the furnace, and the water was inside and everything, so there wasn't much of any different adjustments there than that we already have used to in Detroit.
Well, what were some of the things you had to do to help your mother around the house?
Those kids' workers bring together the eggs and bring in wood. Most of those kids had to bring wood in at night. That was a kid's job, getting home from school and carry in the wood and gather the eggs. And
how many chickens did you have?
We usually tried to have around 1,500 chickens. That was part of it. Had to have the chickens for the eggs, so take them down the cellar. We'd take a basket of eggs and go to town and trade it for groceries.
So how many eggs did you get?
Well, we'd have probably got a pretty good bunch of eggs. We'd have about 12 dozen every weekend, I would say. And you get maybe 10, like maybe 10 cents a dozen.
And how many groceries would that get you?
Groceries, I don't know. We used to get, I was just saying, until we get groceries were cheap at that time. It would, your eggs, and your cream, that you got from your cows, was your living. That had to pay. You didn't, you had to dig into something else, and you didn't aim to do that. That was your eggs and your cream was your living. It depended on that.
And the people in the city, how did they make their living then?
Well, the people who lived in the city, they had to have some kind of work to do. They had to work someplace. They worked in various places, the same as they do today.
I've never thought about much about trading something for something here. Mm-hmm. Just modern days.
We have noticed that even just since now. Now you couldn't, if you had a flock of chickens now, you couldn't hardly sell the eggs. Nobody would buy them, unless you just had a neighbor or somebody that would buy them. But you couldn't take them to the store and sell them. That'd be impossible. They wouldn't have them. They've got to be graded eggs, government inspected. Well, they've got to be under that rule anyhow. I don't know what you'd say, or pure food or something or other anyhow, like Vern's eggs and things like that in this place up here. They have to be under inspection and all that stuff now that you buy. But you used to, even when we lived over here on the farm and we moved up there in 47, we took our eggs into Carroll. We had a store here in Carroll that he always bought our eggs.
Could you take them to any store you wanted to?
Most any store, people were glad to get the eggs. Uh-huh. And of course they didn't, at that time we moved up here, they didn't buy cream. You either took your cream into a creamery someplace where they made butter and stuff, or else then it was longer when milk trucks come around and picked up your milk, if you had milk to sell. But that's changed so now that you milk your cows and put it all in them big tanks, and then the big trucks come in and take it from the big tank, so you can sell milk that way either. So, no, you can't. You couldn't sell anything in butter today. I don't know if you ever sell it or not. A lot of people wouldn't use it. Homemade butter.
Would you consider yourself poor when you were married?
No, we never thought much about it. We didn't think very much about it. Everybody was in the same circumstances, and it wasn't too much. As long as you could get by and see that you didn't go behind, if you could make ends meet, didn't worry about it. Everybody seemed to be happy enough.
Now today we think so much about poor people, and I always wondered, well, back then, were there poor people?
Oh yes, there was, because they was, just like they are today. They was people that was good managers, and they'd get some place and stay with it. Then there was them that wouldn't stay with it any place. Yeah, they were. They're the same as they are today. And if they didn't have a home of their own, where they had their living and stuff, have had to work out, just go around working for a farmer by the day or something. And, yeah, they were poor people that way, because they didn't always have work, and they were very poor people, and they didn't have a thing to get anything with.
Well, there are people today that just don't want to work,
mm-hmm.
so they go to welfare.
Yeah.
Well, what did they do back then?
Well, there was no welfare. You didn't get no welfare. You just got along, that was all.
You had to work
You had to work and get enough to keep it going, or else just stay poor, that was all. Scratch around and get it. No welfare at that time.
Mm. What year were you married in?
1910.
1910. Mm. A lot of changes have taken place.
You just can't think it up fast enough to sit down and talk about it, but lots of times you just get to daydreaming, you know, and think back. And then think, what a change.
What were some of the changes that you think back about?
Well, about all these modern conveniences and things like that, and our ways of life, how much different you live than you do now. Some of them were, I don't know, I was just as happy, seemed like, as I am now. It wouldn't make any difference.
As long as you're happy, that's all it counts.
All it counts, yeah. Mm-hmm. Never had much of any climate. Well, we kind of lucky, I guess. We most of us had work enough to keep us going. We never did, ever got to a place where we did have to worry too much. Of course, we didn't have, but then, we had to be careful, but then we most of us had planned for it and had to make our ends meet. As long as we'd done that, we'd be happy.
How did the Depression affect you?
Well, the Depression for, well, that would have been the great, what they call the Great Depression, come on in 29, up until about 35, I guess, things started picking up around about that time. Well, that was something. That was really bad. But we never had to go on welfare, but pretty everybody in our neighborhood was on welfare. The factories were down, nobody was working. But we didn't happen to have to. He had the gas station when it started. He had the gas station. Well, then, got aware that, people couldn't drive their cars, didn't have the money to buy gas. So he went all the gas station and he bought a bus, an old, great big old bus. And of course people had to have kerosene because they burnt kerosene in their stoves. They couldn't pay electric bills, so then they had to go back to the old kerosene stove and kerosene lights a lot. They had the electric shut off. And he sold gasoline, and then there was a few that had to have kerosene. Sold kerosene, he sold oil, and he done car repair, and we managed. And if we got by that, we had $3 a week to live on, we done pretty good. But my goodness, we go up to the Fort Street on Saturday night and do our shopping, you'd get 25 pounds of flour for 35 cents. A 25 pound sack of flour for 35 cents, and a piece of pork loin in the chunk for a quarter. 6 bars of soap for a quarter. Butter was 12 cents a pound.
So you could get your necessities pretty reasonable.
We lived on that $3 a week. And we got along all right. And we had to buy coal, too. We didn't have the wood, but we lived in town then at that time. And we had to buy coal with it. And we got along all right. We never were. And a lady gave me, one lady moved, she had a daughter. I was a school teacher, and of course then they had quite a family of children besides, I think 7, 8, something like that. And the husband had a real good job. Well, he'd been a Ford man. Of course they'd had pretty good then. Well, then when the Depression came on, they didn't have, and I guess the daughter still taught school. Yeah, that's school. But the mother didn't have a chance. She had all those children, and she didn't have a chance to sew and fix things like that, and they had an attic full of clothing that was discarded, just some of it was good, it needed mending like that. And they give him 7 grain sacks, you know them great big, what you call a grain sack? 7 grain sacks full of rags, what they call rags, rags to use around the gas station or around this place where he was working on cars. And I sorted them all over, And the men's shirts, a lot of them were just wore around here, and they were collared a little bit. The shirt tails was all good. And I made my little boy little shirts, and the pants, where the pants were good, the bottom of the legs of the pants were good. And I dressed him. Oh, he had lots of little suits of little pants, you know, little shirt with the pants buttoned down all the way around. He was about 4 years old then. And took all those shirt tails, and he had plenty of suits. And then there was some coats, girls, some ladies' coats in there. And I made my little girl with coats. I used one coat. If there's a light color, I use that for a lining, and then use the dark over the outside for a... And we got along fine and didn't mind it a bit. I was just happy then as I am now. Didn't mind it a bit.
That's good. That's good. I hear so many people were starting to panic. No,
well, it's
but I
poor idea to panic because you lose your wits and your sense of balance and everything else. So there's no use to panic. There's a way out if a person tries, if you try hard enough and try to get along. And even today, I think, and the welfare is good in a way, and I think if they see that you're trying to get along and do the very best you can, I think you can get help today. But there's so many that's making such a nuisance out of it that so many that just won't work. They don't want to work. And it's too easy to get. But I think that the person could get help today. I don't see any sense of panicking. Of course, if you've got a good home and you can't make your payments and things like that, well, then it kind of makes you guess, because you don't want to lose your home. That's one thing, to what you've got in it, that's one thing to worry about.
Did you own your own home?
Yeah, we always had our own home. It wasn't always a good one, but we didn't buy anything we couldn't afford, so it wasn't always a good one.
Yeah. Did you have a separate building for the horses far away from the house?
Oh, yeah, a barn. Yeah, yeah. It was always the animals' clothes out in the barn.
Well, I really can't think of too much else to ask you. Do you have anything you want to throw in for free
well,
for nothing?
Does anything come along here that I can think of?
Were cars very dependable back then?
Oh, I think so. I think they were pretty good cars. But, well, we knew more about Fords because we was in the Ford, where Ford, you know, there was all made down there. And the biggest part of them was Ford. I think it's just about like that today. They were made pretty good if they were used good. It seemed to be.
Well, you could fix them up yourself then.
Yeah. If man could be his own mechanic then, but nowadays you can't do that. It's very good. It's complicated, but... a piece of hay wire and a hairpin or something to fix a Ford up any time.
A little hay wire.
Mm. Yeah, I think
how do you like your
always dependable car?
That one? Well, the only reason I
what?
That's the well, he died this winter, didn't he?
Yeah, he died about a month ago.
Yeah. I remember, I heard it on the radio.
He was 90 years old. You would have been 90 in May.
He was that old. He didn't look that old, did he? Well, he came in and visited. They were very nice to talk to, both of them. Nice.
They liked to talk.
Yeah. He was telling
in fact, me. I was going to interview him for this, and then he got sick. And so I thought, well, I'll wait until he gets better, you know, but he didn't. Well, I'd like to
thank
you.
Were you at the prayer meeting last night?
Pardon?
Did you come to prayer meeting last night?
No, I didn't. I came home from school. What happened is I had turned in a term paper. I had three of them to hand in, and I thought, well, I'll get one done here. I handed it in, and the instructor didn't like it.
Oh.
And so I had to do it all over again. And there's nothing more depressing than that.
Do all that work
and
do it all over again.
So I stayed home and I did it all over again. And I was going to do two of them last night, but I only got one done. I worked two straight hours on it, you know, didn't want to leave that typewriter. And then every now and then John comes in, Mom, Mom, Mom.
Does he come to her school? John?
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
How does he get here?
Pardon?
How does he get here? Does somebody bring him?
Last week I brought a group of kids. And then now this week someone else brings them.
Oh.
And Harry Randall pick them up. But tonight I'm going to pick them up.
Oh.